Tell me about the birthplace in the museum. What is it? When is it open? And what's in it?
Sure. Well, the birthplace will actually be opening for the season on Saturday. You know, the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic and of the beginning of Molly being known for her heroism during that horrible tragedy. The Molly Brown House is actually owned and operated by the City of Hannibal and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And it has been redone to look as it may have when her family lived there. Of course, it still is a very small house. She was the daughter of Irish immigrants. You know, there were a lot of people living in a very small place at the time, and so it's very modest. But it interprets what her life would have been like. And there's also an extra room that talks about why her family moved to the United States, you know, her Molly's time here in Hannibal, her schooling, what she did, how she moved out west, how she came into the fortune, how she boarded the Titanic. There's also a Titanic room that basically just talks about the disaster and Molly's role in it. So some of the rooms are set to look as they may have when the Brown family lived there, so they're in period. And then, like I said, there's a lot of interpretive materials to talk about her life, her contributions, and also the Titanic disaster.
When did she leave Hannibal?
She left Hannibal relatively young. She left Hannibal when she was 13. She moved out west when her sister had moved. And so she moved out west, married J.J. Brown, who was an engineer for a mine out there. And the way that she's truly a rags to riches story. you don't get any more rags to riches than Molly's story. As like I said, she grew up very, very poor. Her husband, they were living very modest lives. Then her husband JJ was a mining engineer. He was also the son of Irish immigrants. They were living in Leadville, Colorado at the time, and he was an engineer for the mine. It was actually his invention that allowed the mine to dig deeper than it ever had before. And with his invention, in 1893, it led to the biggest strike of gold that had been known at the time. And so to reward J.J. for his invention that allowed the mine to do this, he was rewarded a 1/8 ownership in the mine. So it basically made them overnight millionaires. So she was, you know, quite the rags to riches story. So Hannibal shows the, you know, the before, and then out in of course, in Colorado, they have the Molly Brown home that they bought later on in life.
Is there anything of Molly's in the house there in Hannibal?
She, unfortunately, much like the Mark Twain Boyhood Home, which is also here in Hannibal, the family was have very modest means. There are no known pieces that the family owned, as far as I know, anywhere. Like I said, the same goes for the Mark Twain Boyhood Home. So the best you can do is recreate what a typical immigrant cottage would have looked like at the time. So while none of the items belonged to the Tobin family, because she was Margaret Tobin while she was here in Hannibal, it has been made to look as it may have during her time here.
I was going to say, I suppose a lot of her personal stuff is at the home in Denver, and that's a later part of her life where she would have had more stuff.
Exactly. Later on in life, of course, you know, she had, like I said, she was an instant millionaire, and so she had the fine furs. And one of the my favorite parts of the museum here in Hannibal is there's a copy of her insurance claim for the items that she lost in the Titanic disaster. And there are furs that cost thousands of dollars, or dresses that cost hundreds of dollars. And for 1912, you know, you can imagine what those things would have cost today. So she definitely had more material wealth later in life than she did while she was here in Hannibal.
Well, tell me, let's contrast the legendary Molly Brown on the mm-hmm. Titanic thing with what she really did and what really happened there. There's a lot of stuff about her waving a pistol around, getting control of an unruly lifeboat and all of that. But on the other hand, I've read that that's probably not exactly true. So what's the real deal with Molly Brown and the lifeboat on the Titanic?
Sure. Sure. Well, first of all, if we want to start busting myths, we should state that Molly was never known as Molly during her lifetime. It wasn't until decades later when the musical came out, The Unsinkable Molly Brown, that people started referring to her as Molly Brown. Her family referred to her as Maggie, but she always went by either Margaret, Maggie, or, in accordance with the times, you know, Mrs. J.J. Brown. So that's our first myth there. Of course, she was, according to her, she was in a bed reading a book when the Titanic hit the iceberg and actually threw her out of bed. She did put in 6 pairs of wool stockings. She put on a wool suit, a fur coat, and a hat and muff, and $500 cash in her pocket. She got out. Of course, they were putting people into the lifeboats. They threw her into lifeboat number 6. The boat was supposed to hold 65 people. They let it go, lowering it into the water with 30 people. She wanted to return to try to get more survivors. However, Quartermaster Hitchens, who had actually been at the helm when the Titanic hit the iceberg, refused to go back because he was afraid that so many survivors would try to swamp the boat that then they would all perish. She did keep the women and the 2 men in the lifeboat. She kept them rowing to stay warm because they were out there for about 6 hours. She also passed out the extra pairs of wool socks. There's a picture of when they are being picked up by the Carpathia. One of the gentlemen, it's either Quartermaster Hitchens or the other gentleman on the boat is actually wearing her fur coat in the picture. So she passed out the extra clothing that she had. She encouraged them to row. She spoke 5 languages, and so when she was on the Carpathia, she stayed aboard to help act as translator because many of the women, the immigrant women that were coming to the United States, had lost their husbands, therefore their breadwinners. And she acted as translator, trying to get them to people that could help. She also went among the first-class passengers of the Carpathia, of the Titanic survivors, and raised $10,000 among them. Before they even hit New York, she had raised $10,000 among first-class passengers to give to the steerage-class passengers who had lost, basically, their husbands, their livelihood, to give that out. So, you know, the firing the pistol in the air, the grandiose things, you know, there are a lot of myths that go with that, but she really, truly was quite the heroine. And the unsinkable part does come in. She really did. It came from a newspaper reporter asking her, how she attributed her survival. And she quipped, well, that's typical Brown luck. We're unsinkable. And so she was known as the unsinkable Mrs. Brown, but Molly, like I said, didn't come until later in life.
One piece of literature that I've read about her was that Mark Twain was the one who actually encouraged her to go west, that she knew him in Hannibal. Is that true?
That is a local lore. It has not been verified, and as far as I know, cannot be verified. It makes for a great story, you know, kind of like the shooting the pistol and so on and so forth, but that has never been verified. So until it can be verified, I think that will probably remain local legend.
The things that I've read about her indicate that she was probably even more interesting as a person, the real person, than the way she's been portrayed in movies and musicals and stuff.
Oh, yes. She was very outspoken. She, during her childhood, like many immigrant families, she worked in factories here in Hannibal. She was very vocal about the women's rights to vote, children's rights, labor laws. During World War I, she went to France to volunteer at an American hospital for which she won the French Legion of Honor. She ran for state office twice before women even had the right to vote. I mean, her list of achievements goes on and on. So she's quite the fascinating woman. She is remembered for, of course, surviving the Titanic, but she was very much a force in her day.
Did she ever come back to Hannibal after the Titanic? Did you know of?
She was actually on her way back to Hannibal, which is why she boarded the Titanic. Her and her daughter were taking a kind of a grand tour, which was very popular at the time for upper class rich Americans. They would go abroad, go to Egypt or in Europe, and so she was actually not meaning to come back. However, she received word that her youngest grandson, who she had not yet met, was ill, and so she was going to be coming. She received that word, so she wanted to come back and see him. So she booked kind of last minute on board the Titanic. So she doesn't actually appear on the passenger list. Now her daughter decided to stay in Paris for a few more for a while longer. So she was alone, but she was traveling with the Astors, and so she. Like I said, she is actually coming back to Hannibal and was going to visit her sister while she was here. So I know that for a fact, and I am, as far as the number of times she came back to Hannibal, I don't know, but she did have a sister that remained here.
So she would have come back after she became famous.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere I've read that later in life, things took a kind of a sad turn for her, and she didn't have a whole lot left when she died.
No, she was very active, especially later in life, but her fortune had dwindled. She sold her house in Denver. Actually, her last act of charity, she used the last of the money that she had to purchase mittens and boots for the mining children of Leadville, Colorado, where she lived when she struck it rich. So she did have a... like I said, later in life, her fortune had dwindled, but up to the end, she was performing her acts of charity that she was known for in her day.
Well, I have been to Hannibal many times, and I've been in the Mark Twain House many times, going back to when I was a kid. But I know I've never been to the Molly Brown House, and I don't know if I've ever been past the Molly Brown House. Is it kind of a lost treasure in your town?
It really is, and I bet if you have been to Hannibal and you've been down to the boyhood home of Mark Twain, you probably have been past the Molly Brown without even realizing it. It is on, it's right off of Mark Twain Avenue, and which is how you get downtown, and it's just it's a stone's throw away. I mean, it's maybe 5 or 6 long blocks from Mark Twain's boyhood home. It's on a very, very steep hill in an area of town which back in her day was known as Irish Shantytown because a lot of the Irish immigrants lived there because it was in walking distance to the factories and such. So it really is a little bit, it's a little bit of a lost treasure. It is up on a hill, rather steep. A motor coach, for example, can't make it up there. A car can make it with no problem. But it's a very modest cottage. So not being a grand building, like, for example, Rockcliffe Mansion that we have here in Hannibal, it can be a little bit hard to spot if you're not looking for it. But it's very much worthwhile to go through the home to see how the Brown, or pardon me, at that time, how the Tobin family lived, and then learn more about Molly and her history of her life.
I don't suppose there are any members of her family still in the area at all, are there?
Not in the area. She has great-granddaughters that are alive. I don't know off the top of my head where they live. I believe one of them is out west, perhaps in California. So she does have surviving relatives, but as far as we know, not in the Hannibal area.
Yeah. I think one of her great-granddaughters was in Branson a couple of weeks ago at the Titanic Museum and brought some stuff in for them to exhibit.
Yes. Actually, they brought in a nice collection of Molly's things to house them. Of course, the Titanic Museum and attraction in Branson has much more space to display things than the birthplace. And so, yes, so there are some things there for people to see in regards to Molly, and we're very glad to have that back in the Missouri area.
All right. Anything we haven't touched on that you want to mention about the birthplace and the home?
Well, just the fact that we are celebrating here in Hannibal, of course, we're celebrating Molly's heroism and commemorating the disaster of the sinking of the Titanic this Saturday. We are having a centennial gala, and it's actually going to be held at the Mark Twain Museum Gallery. It's a fundraising gala. All the money goes to help support support the upkeep of the Molly Brown Birthplace. Molly herself will be there to entertain guests. There'll be hors d'oeuvres, a period costume contest. So it should be a very fun time. It's from 6 to 8. And if anybody wanted to pick up last-minute tickets, we have a couple, a few left. They're $25 a piece, and they can call the CVB, the Convention and Visitors Bureau here, toll-free at 866-263-4825. And if you have a touch-tone phone, that actually spells one Tom and Huck.
You also have a cruise?
Well, actually, it's a little bit ironic. It's a turn of events that is rather suitable for one of Mark Twain's novels. The gala was originally going to be a commemorative cruise aboard the Mark Twain riverboat. However, we had a last-minute change of venue because we have no boat. The riverboat Mark Twain is in St. Louis awaiting annual safety inspections. They're mandated, of course, by the government to have an annual safety inspection. They have a backlog, and so the boat is still in St. Louis awaiting inspection. So we don't have a boat for our Titanic commemoration, which is a bit ironic if you think about it. However, it's been moved to dry land, and all of the fun that we had planned for the evening will still commence.